I'm not gonna use that.
Right, introducing the Niggin brothers, Yossi and Zelma.
We're
gonna get some wine.
Who's Yossi?
I'm Yossi.
Sorry,
what?
Can you take your
Thank you.
We can do a. You're going to sing the whole. Yeah, should we play that now? Or you're going to sing the whole thing through? Okay. You're going to do my song also?
What?
Should we play my song? Should we do a different one? Should we do a different one?
What did you say?
Okay. Okay. Well, he's like. What's the funk? That's quite worth it. I wonder what all the Kabbalah is behind that.
Lighting of the menorah. So, if there's anyone who would like to light, David, if you like to. Did you light? You lit. Have you lit?
No.
No? Okay, lovely. So, David, you'll light?
I have lit.
Right. Okay, so David, so David and John.
I've come from work.
Yeah, lovely. And Judith?
Hi.
Yes, right. Okay, so maybe let's start with Judith. It's a great pleasure to see Judith. Very, very much so.
Judith, fine.
I didn't tell her that you were
coming. So it's Nicole.
Yeah, it was also last week for us. And anyway, she said she was going out at 6. Anyway, oh, it was a crazy day, you know. It really was.
Now.
Sorry.
I've got a
Look
at the time
when he comes.
He's here.
Do you
want
to sit there?
Is anyone else who would like to light the Hanukkah? Hey, Yael.
Hello, hello.
Ani chashavti alayk. Chashavti
mishpacha.
I thought of sending you an email.
Yeah, well, so appreciative of your persistence. And I got another email today or yesterday. And I thought I must come. So yeah, it's really nice to be here. Not tonight, last night.
Would you like to?
You want one?
Anyone else for lighting candles? No? Everyone's now. We sang before Mao's Tzur. Well, we played it. Yossi and Zalman played it. Now there is another melody, Hanerot Halal, and that is printed over here. This is actually the halachic concept is to recite this when one has lit the Hanukkah lamp. And so Yossi and Zalman are going to play it in a traditional Chabad melody, which is rather a lengthy melody, but you will eventually get home. Yeah, maybe you share with David. Okay, now there's a hole here, so that it's over there in very small letters.
Thank you.
Chaim. Anyone for wine? 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 Anyone would like some wine? Red or white? Anyone? Yep.
White.
Not on the keyboard.
As long as I can tell the difference between a C and a D, I'm all right.
Okay, now, John was telling me that he thinks the bracha, Shehechiyanu v'kimanu v'giyanu v'zman hazeh, you see the third bracha. There are two brachot that we say every night, and the first time that we light the Hanukkah lamp each year, we say Shehechiyanu. And John was saying how he thought that's a very beautiful bracha, and of course we all think it's a very beautiful bracha. It's something tremendous, you know, that God has kept us alive. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has granted us life, sustained us, and enabled us to reach this occasion, this moment.
Nine.
Now, I'd like to tell a little story relating to that, relating to a Hasidic Rebbe who was called the Blujova Rebbe. And the point about the Blujova Rebbe, I actually know very little about him, except that he was in Auschwitz, and there were a number of his followers there with him, and other Jewish people and others with whom he came in contact with. And many, many years, and he survived, thank God, and so did a number of other people who had known him in the camps. And many years later, an academic, whose name escapes me at this moment, I'm sorry, I'm very forgetful, a young woman, she wrote a book published by Oxford University Press called Hasidic Tales of the Holocaust. And basically what those stories were, she went, or she was in New York, and she found him and many of his followers and other people who'd known him at that time, and she got from them stories about the time in the Holocaust, and she put it in this book, and I thought it's an extremely beautiful book, and in fact our school, in the English GCSE, you have to study a number of different books, and so we got that book put on the official list so that we were able to study it as our girls in our Lubavitch school were able to study that book as part of their GCSE English and write essays about that book, as well as you know, any other book of African stories or Shakespeare or whatever else they have to write about. And there's a story there about Hanukkah. And the way that we hear the story is from a man who wasn't religious. And he was there in the camp, and somehow or other it was the first night of Hanukkah, and the Blujova Rebbe and his Hasidim had managed to organize, that was the word, I'm not quite sure what it was in Yiddish, but that was the word that's used in Holocaust material to describe getting something or making something organized. So someone had organized a Hanukkah lamp, and very secretly in a hut somewhere, they had this Hanukkah lamp. I mean, there are other descriptions about making Hanukkah lamps out of shoe polish, which would burn. Somehow they were able to get shoe polish. Yeah, you couldn't get oil, but you could get shoe polish. And they were able to, and they're using a potato. You know, these are from different descriptions of keeping Hanukkah in the concentration camp. And so somehow they managed to organize a Hanukkah lamp, and it was a packed hut, and everyone was watching the Blujova Rebbe, and he was about to light the Hanukkah candle. Now, this is being described by a man who wasn't religious, but who was there, and you know, in short, the Blue Jubilee Rebbe lit the Hanukkah lamp, and maybe they sang more Sur or something like that. But this man had a question. He had a question about something the Blue Jubilee Rebbe did. And I believe it was years later that they both survived. He came to the Blue Jubilee Rebbe and he asked him the question, and the Rebbe gave him the answer, and that's what was written in the book, right? So that's in this book, Hasidic Tales of the Holocaust. The question was like this. He said, Rebbe, everyone was there watching you. You held the candle in your hand. You said the first blessing. Everyone said Amen. The first blessing is, blessed are you, O Lord our God, who made, sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to light the Hanukkah lamp. You said the blessing, second blessing, blessed are you, O God, King of the universe, who made miracles for our fathers in those days at this time of year. And then you waited 10 seconds, 20 seconds, half a minute. Everyone was staring at you. You were just waiting. And then finally, you said the third blessing, blessed are you, O Lord our God, who kept us alive and has made us reach this moment. Tell me, Rebbe, why did you wait? Why did you pause like that? I couldn't understand it. So the Rebbe said to him, you know, when it came to saying the first blessing, blessed are you, O God, who commanded us to light the Hanukkah lamp. Well, that's true. God commanded us to light the Hanukkah lamp, and so we're lighting the Hanukkah lamp. There's no problem. When it came to the second blessing, blessed are you, O God, who did miracles for our ancestors long ago at this time of year. Well, that was also true. So I had no problem with that blessing. But when it came to the third blessing, blessed are you, O God, King of the universe, who's kept us alive and made us reach this time, which meant all the tremendous suffering that we've experienced, seeing our loved ones die, be killed in front of our eyes, the most horrific things that we've seen. Are we really thanking God that we've reached this moment? And I just wasn't certain whether or not to say this blessing. And if it was just me, maybe I wouldn't have said it. But I suddenly saw all the people who were looking at me expectantly, waiting for me to say the next blessing and to light the Hanukkah lamp. And I thought, you know what? It's true. Blessed are you, O God, who's kept us alive for this moment to light the Hanukkah lamp. So I lit the lamp. So that was the dialogue, which is the content of this little story in Hasidic tale. Yaffa Eliach, that's the name of the writer. Yaffa Eliach is an academic of Jewish history, and this is the collection that she created, E-L-I-A-C-H. I'm sure you can buy the book on Amazon. It's well worth getting. Okay, shall we have a nigger? Thought communication between two brothers. Their name is Nigel, which means Jew. And almost every child, I think, in the family is very musical. Right, well, tonight was a very interesting event earlier on. Was the lighting of a menorah in Trafalgar Square with Ken Livingston. So I wasn't able to be there. I was at a different activity. You were there?
No.
My wife was there and various friends of mine. So I heard that Ken Livingston said that if they ever are going to change the name of the city, London, they'll change it to Hanukkah. Because Hanukkah means peace. And it was a very beautiful sight, and my wife was there. My wife apologizes not being able to be here tonight. She really wanted to come, but we look after our little grandchildren whose bedtime is 8 o'clock. So the Trafalgar Square menorah fitted in with that, but the Aleph group is beyond me, beyond the limit. Now, does anyone here have a Hanukkah story that they know, that they heard, that they experienced, that they would like to share? Everyone that's good. Say, maybe we'll have a nigun while people think about that. Yeah.
So it was memory provoking.
I'd just like to make this point: how wonderful David and Nicole have. Hosting this group for many, many years, week in, week out, and these beautiful parties which they organize so beautifully. Thank you very much, David and Nicole and their family. Akiva. do you want to say a story about Yael was the making of the war.
That's something you wrote?
No, it's I don't know if it's known who the composer is, I'm not sure.
Sorry? What is it, a Hebrew or Yiddish song?
Hasidic. Chabad, yeah. Oh, for Chabad, no. It's very, very mellow sound. That's my brother.
So you started playing So what, when the next one came along, because you played, they decided also to play? And you learned on violin? But when you do the piano, you got to learn it properly. In school he had a teacher and then private.
I'm going to tell the Yael's story.
I have no
idea. Okay, so Yael just told me a story. And I thought it's a very beautiful story. I want to share it with you. Yael's too shy.
I don't have enough details to make it.
So it's a story about the war with George Washington in the United States. And there was a Jewish soldier who was fighting in George Washington's army. I happen to know that Washington had tremendous difficulties during this war. Much of the time he didn't have the money to pay the soldiers. It was everyone was it was all on faith, in a sense, all on And there was this soldier, this Jewish soldier who had a Chanukiah, which he had from his father, and it was the first night of Hanukkah. And they'd had this very difficult battles and campaign, and it was winter, and it was difficult.
That's right, winter.
And it was now, yeah.
It was a broken spirit, but he had faith that they are going to win the war.
And now it's night time, and he's going to, and it's late at night, as Yael told it, and he is going to light the Chanukah lamp. And he starts lighting and with saying the blessings. And he says to himself how he's really got faith that they're going to win. They're going to be successful in this war. They're going to conquer. Now, George Washington had the habit of walking around the camp late in the evening. And he came up and he saw this soldier lighting this Hanukkah lamp. And he came and sat down near him. And he heard what he was saying. And the soldier turns and sees his, the head of the whole army, and says to him, I've got faith that we're going to win. And Washington said, if you've got faith and you're a Jew, then I've also got faith that we're going to win, because you've got a special quality. The Jewish people are the people of the prophets. And if that's what you're saying, well, I believe that we'll win as well. And in fact, in the end, they did win. And after the victory, Washington found this soldier and gave him a medal, because he said, you really kept my spirits up. Mm-hmm. Now that's the story
brought
I heard from Yael.
Dark night.
Brought light on a dark night. Yeah. Now,
well, that's the Hanukkah, isn't it?
That's
light until I'm off.
Absolutely, that is Hanukkah, and that's the story I heard from Yael. And just to add a little bit to it, that is so today as well. Because the quality of Hanukkah is something extremely precious, extremely special, and in fact the quality of being a Jew in the world today or any time, but particularly our world, with all the different conflicts and difficulties and darkness that there are in many darknesses, many types of darkness in different parts of the world and for different peoples within the world. And then you have the Jewish people. And you have us lighting our Hanukkah lamp, and we put the Hanukkah lamp on the outside of the house, like it is here at the window, or as the Talmud describes it, in the doorway shining into the outside. Because the Hanukkah lamp has the power to change the darkness. And it changes the darkness. It doesn't just conquer darkness. It reveals the light which is in the darkness. And that's something very, very intriguing. Because negativity is very often where you have two sides. You have A and B. So A thinks they're good and B thinks they're good. And the other one is bad. And now they're fighting against each other. And so what is the conclusion? Victory. A wins over B. Or if you're looking at it from the other point of view, B wins over A. But Hanukkah, in fact, is revealing something else. It's true that there was a battle against the Greek forces, and the Greek forces were trying to destroy Judaism and to blanket out Judaism. And we won. So in that sense, A conquered B.
Then we lost.
But that A conquering B was actually on the day before Hanukkah. The battle was won, according to Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Ladi. The battle was won on the 24th of Kislev. The 25th of Kislev represents the miracle of the light, the miracle of the oil. And that's a different dimension. That's taking us into another level where it's beyond the battle. It's not to do with the battle of two forces against each other. It's to do with the entire project that God wants to establish. A world in which there is darkness. That's part of the whole nature of the existence of the world, a world where there is darkness. And in that darkness, we should be able to reveal the light, which is the essential quality of existence. You know, when God began creating the world, it tells us in the Torah, the first words that God said are what? Well, Bereshit is like a description. Bereshit bara Elohim, at the beginning God created heaven and earth, and Hashem said, Yehi or, let there be light. He said, Yehi or, let there be light, Vayehi or, and there was light. That's the first statement of our existence. It says, Bereshit, at the beginning God created, but it doesn't tell us what it created. The first step of actually saying what happened was God saying, let there be light. You okay? So there's a beautiful. Have you got some
paper towel?
Yeah, a towel. It's the same towel. Don't do things by heart. Okay. There's a beautiful discussion of this. By the Rebbe, by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that by saying Yehi or, let there be light, God is saying what the whole of existence is about from beginning to end. It's all about light. In fact, I'm told that if you count the words in the Torah, Bereshit, Bara Elohim, etc., etc., you count them, the 25th word is or, is light. The 25th word relating to the 25th of Kislev, which is the beginning of Hanukkah. So the whole concept of the creation of the world is light. And yet, what is the world? Ha'olam. Ha'olam has got the, Ha'olam means the world or the universe. And Ha'olam has got the same letters as the word He'elem, concealment. Existence is a concealment of the divine. But it's a deliberate concealment. It's because God wants that there should be a dira lo yitvarach betachtonim ba'olamot ha'tachtonim. God wants that there should be a revelation of Hashem in this lower world. And therefore there has to be concealment. Not only is there concealment, you could have a kind of power of kind of concealment, you know, so God is hidden. You look at the beautiful trees, so you might not realize that the trees are created by God. You just see the beautiful trees. But what about if instead of beautiful trees, it is ugly, menacing, dangerous forces? But that's also part of God's creation. Because God wants that there should be a world. Now here's the mysterious Hasidic Knech, the Hasidic twist. God wants that there should be a world where in fact there is a lot of negativity. That is how God created it. Right at the beginning, the Kabbalah tells us that before the actual creation of the physical universe, there was what is called Shvirat HaKelim, the breaking of the vessels. That there was an energy which was supposed to be contained by the Svirot, the divine Kelim, the divine vessels which hold this intense divine energy. And the energy was so powerful that there was the Shvira, the breaking of the vessels, as it says in the Lurianic Kabbalah. And as a result, there is all the negativity in the world, the Klipot, the forces of evil. The forces which drag a person into negative behavior and the forces which promote negative things, it's all the klipot, the shells which come as a result of the shvirat ha-kelim, the breaking of the vessels. And yet, that was part of God's plan. So God's plan is not only that there should be a concealment of the divine, but even that there should be very negative things in our world, and we ourselves might get dragged into those negative things as well. The klipot become, we get drawn into the klipot sometimes. And that means that we sometimes do or have done negative things. And then comes the moment where we wake up. And we see that there is a possibility of light. And that's like the light of the Chanukah menorah. And we light one little light, one tiny step. It doesn't seem very much against the intense darkness, but it's one tiny step. I don't know why I'm doing it, but I feel I have to do this, the person says. It might be a woman decides she's going to light candles on a Friday afternoon, even though she doesn't really keep Shabbat and she doesn't eat kosher and she doesn't do this and she doesn't, but nonetheless. Or a man decides he's going to do something, he's going to have a mezuzah on the door, even though he's living with a non-Jewish girl, or this, or that, the other, something. And there's that little step. That's one light. And then there's another light. The next night on Hanukkah, we don't just have one light, we have two. The first night we have one, the second night we have two. It increases. The third night we have three lights, four lights, five. Tonight we have eight lights. Eight lights of the Hanukkah lamp represent that there is a hekef, there is a cycle. There is a structure of existence, which is seven, like the 7 days of the week, and we're going beyond. We're going beyond to the number eight. And that number eight represents reaching for the beyond and drawing the beyond into our world, into our lives, so that our lives become a total expression of moving forward with joyfulness, not only with light against darkness, but recognizing that in the darkness there is light, and that ultimately the whole world is light. And with that confident faith, like the faith that inspired the non-Jew George Washington, because this is the world. And this, in fact, is the Hanukkah discourse that I'm holding in my hand, which we're not actually going to sit down and learn, but it speaks about this idea that there's the transformation of a world which might be a hostile world, and then it becomes a world filled with positive feelings. And we have faith that that is going to happen. Trafalgar Square, the Champs-Élysées, Tour d'Eiffel, all these different, you know, they have a Hanukkah menorah, Hanukkah, the Eiffel Tower usually, and other big squares.
They've got it in Cyprus as well.
And in Cyprus, Cyprus now, airport. Yes, right, yeah. Okay, we have a Shriach in Cyprus.
Yeah.
The
Chabad guys, they told me, Rabbi Ruskin is made alive.
So in there the it is happening, and yeah, with the help of God, it'll happen inside every single person's heart. Okay. That there will be this illumination of darkness changing to light, with joy, with goodness, with the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu. With the point when the whole world is unified together to serve Hashem at the Beit HaMikdash, and there will be the golden menorah in the Beit HaMikdash, in the temple, and that will be the inspiration of the whole world, and it's our inspiration now, mamash, because at this moment now, because it's all happening now, and every little step forward that any one of us makes. In this discourse, there's a beautiful statement with which I'm going to conclude. The Rambam says that a person should always consider the world as equally balanced between good and bad, and that he himself is equally balanced between good and bad. And as the Rambam says, so your next action is going to determine the entire state of the world. If you do a good action, you're going to bring the world to good. You're going to bring yourself to good and the whole world to good. And it's a beautiful statement of the Rambam, which I love repeating. And you might well have heard from me over the years. But the Rebbe adds another point. The Rebbe adds another point. Not only a good action, it could be a good word or even a good thought. That good thought that the person has in their mind, in his or her mind, can change themselves and the whole world for good. Okay. Zalman? Something fair.
Hallelujah.
Beautiful. Thank you, Bruno. Now, I want to say, every week, normally in term time, so to speak, we meet on a Tuesday evening and we study a Maimer Hasidut, a Hasidic discourse that's full of Kabbalistic ideas, and it's Kabbalistic ideas brought into a person's life. And I personally really think they're very profound teachings, and I think it's wonderful that we're able to have that David and Nicole give us the opportunity to meet here and to explore together. So that is every week. There will be a session next week with the help of Hashem, next Tuesday evening, and then we'll have a break until the Tuesday, the 15th of January. That's where we'll be beginning the new series in 2008. However, before we study one of these teachings, we usually sing a melody, which is the special melody that before the Lubavitcher Rebbe would say a discourse, a maimer, he would go into himself in a very deep way, and everyone in 770 around the Rebbe would start singing a very profound melody. So we try to sing this melody together before we learn a discourse each Tuesday evening with my very tuneless presentation of it. But I thought, since we have Yossi and Zalman here, they'll play for us the Maimer melody, the melody of the Maimer Nigun, just so that we know what it's supposed to sound like. Thank you. to stop speaking, but if I can just say another a couple of words about this melody and the Hasidic teachings that it introduces. You see, Torah is something very fascinating. Torah means Hora'ah, teaching. And usually when a person opens the book of the Torah, we find instructions. Do this, don't do that. And the basic expression of the Torah is actually the Shulchan Aruch, the code of law, which tells us what are the rules of daily life, what are the rules of Jewish life. And when we go behind the Shulchan Aruch, behind the code of law, we go to the Talmud, we find that there are lots of different opinions. For example, about this festival of Hanukkah, there's Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai say you light 8 candles on the first night, and 7 on the second, and 6 on the third, and so on. And Beit Hillel say the reverse, what we actually do, 1 night on the first, 2 on the second, and each of them have their reasons, as was partly discussed last week at the study group here, which you can hear on the web, www.chabadresearch.org. And you can press audio and scroll down and you'll find last week's session. Maybe you'll find this week's session as well in a few hours' time. However, chabadresearch.org.
Yeah, but what do I look for? I'm in that site, but what do I actually...
Audio. It says yeah. Audio at the side, and you press on audio, then you have a whole list of different talks.
So which is it?
So it's the Aleph Kabbalah group, and you just look for last week's date, and you'll find it. Yeah. So there you have different opinions in the Talmud. Now there's a statement in the Talmud. Af al pi, even though she'enu metamim ve'enu metarim, that these say it's impure and the others say it's pure. Some say it's kosher and some say it's not kosher. Nonetheless, in other words, they have all different opinions, all these different great rabbis in the Talmud. Nonetheless, Eilu ve'eilu divrei lekim chaim. These and these, both of them are the words of the living God. In other words, there is the level of Torah where it's giving us instructions. And there is the halakha, which you actually do one way or the other, try to do. And then there are higher and higher dimensions of Torah till you come to the radiance of the Torah, what the Arizal, what Rabbi Yitzchak Luria called the white spaces between the letters, which is the radiance, which is beyond the actual definitions in terms of letters. And that radiance is what is being communicated by these Hasidic, Kabbalistic teachings, by these Ma'amarim, and these discourses. And so therefore, by exploring something, a little bit, of one of these discourses, we are reaching into a further, a higher dimension of Torah in order to draw down that illumination into our lives. And this Maima melody that was just played so beautifully, that is the way in which our hearts open a little bit, so that we are able to become kelim, so that we're able to become vessels and receive that radiance when it comes into our hearts or into our lives. So with the help of Hashem, every single person here, the entire Jewish people, should have this infinite illumination within them, which ultimately will illuminate the whole of humanity, the whole world. And there should be the time of Mashiach Tzidkenu. Now, Mama.
Can we play this music?
The
music, you know, the one they play.
Yes.
Have their discs.
Where can
we find the recording of
this?
No, this is
not the
discs.
Yeah. Part
of the music?
Yeah. Have you put out any CD? I must tell you, Zalman Negin is available for, you know, soirees, all kinds of different events. Take his number. And he does this professionally. He's very kindly come here this evening, but he's certainly a professional musician. Yossi is a teacher. But we were very, very grateful to have both of them here.
The NiganBrothers.com.
NiganBrothers.com.
Do you have a website? Oh, wonderful.
But Nigan is spelled N-E-G-I-N. Right. Anything to remember.
Yeah, N-E-G. The NeganBrothers.com. Oh, well, I'm going to look that up.
And do you really have a recording of this?
This particular song?
Yes.
Um,
because it's so
beautiful.
I don't think we actually like did a special recording of it, but it's been recorded now.
You've just put out a CD with Rabbi Groner, right?
Yeah.
They did a very beautiful festival of Hasidic song, and this has just been published as a CD. What's the name of the CD?
Well, the project is called Infinite Light.
Yes, Infinite Light.
And what's the CD called?
I think that might be the name on the CD.
It's got Infinite Light. It's got another name on it also. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Which,
so
the Niggin Brothers.
N-E-G-I-N.
In Camden Lock.
Some of it's still a bit like, you know, I'm still writing some of it, so. But there's some nice songs in there and everything.
I'm shook there.
Negin.
N-E-G-I-N.
The Negin Brothers.
Near the main gate opposite the hairdresser.
The Negin Brothers.
You know, shop run by Israelis where you can get scarves and hats.
The Negin Brothers. So do you want to take something to conclude with?
Okay. That's what we're going to conclude with. What are we going to conclude with?
You said we had this Infinite Light.
That's a CD. Yeah, maybe from the website you'll be able to find out. Or, one second, I'll give you a phone number. Someone who made the CD and who sold it. One second.
Yeah.
Should I give Avrami Groner's number for getting the CD?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rabbi Avrom Groner, he's the rabbi of Canton?
Sutton.
He's rabbi of Sutton. He organized, together with the Negin Brothers' brother-in-law, who is also a music impresario. So their sister married a man who is himself a musician. Yeah. So it's 020-8642. 8642 8029 29, and that's Rabbi Avrami Groner, and he sells he made this CD, which has just been completed. It hasn't yet been launched in the shops. I met him today and he was kind of
interested. See, that one. It really is there.
Yeah, there is a CD.
No, I mean in Camden Lock.
Oh.
That's all it is
now. Oh. just reminded me that from the fourth night of Hanukkah, which was just a few days ago, it has been 15 years since we have had the Aleph Roof meetings in this house, 74 Oakwood Road. We used to have the Aleph Roof in Sentinel Square. There was a Hendon Chabad house at that point, which then closed down. And we moved this share into this home, and it's been here ever since for 15 years. And now, of course, my friend Gershon Overlander, Rabbi Overlander, he who organized the Trafalgar Square thing today as well, he runs the Hendon Chabad house virtually at the same spot, just a little bit, 100 yards different from Sentinel Square. So it's a tremendous thing, David and Nicole, really thank you.
Thank you
should be blessed in every way. Your home should always be filled with joy and simcha, besorot tovot and good health and nachat in every way. So I must tell you one thing. One day, it was a Tuesday, and we were supposed to have the shir, and Nicole phones me up. And she says to me, it's all right. She phoned me about, the shir is at 8:30 in the evening. She phoned me about 7:30, something like that. She said, it's all right, we'll have the shir tonight. It's just that David's in the hospital. And there he was. He was a serious issue, which thank God he's now got over. But I was just so moved by the dedication of this family, of that they have this Torah study in their home, and
I'll just think of that, you know, whenever it's there's, you know, it's unbelievable what they do. I was just thinking about before.
It's absolutely beautiful, lovely. Thank you, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, a very happy Hanukkah to everyone.
Can we just say we couldn't have it without you,
Tony?
It's actually very easy. It's not a difficult thing to do. Maybe difficult for you, but not for us.
I went for the
Sorer means adversary.
Same word as sorer.
Yes. Well, that's with an I. You see, there's a root of tzadik resh. So that can mean narrow, or it can mean treasure. So sorer becomes a verbal noun, which means adversary who's addressing you. So this tzadik resh, like we said, tzadik double resh, is like short. So it's like mitzorer, but that wouldn't fit the meter, so it's just mitzah. But it's the idea of barking.
Basically the idea is having a control of chords. All the background is controlled just by the chords in the left hand, and everything's automatic. So
quarter to nine.
It's very complicated.
Yeah, it takes a bit of time to learn, but once you get the hang of it, it's fun.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure.
So what are all these things then?
All different, these control the, you know, the intensity of the background. For example, this is the least intense. Like different variations. Very specific. That's an ending. This one allows you to play the bass manually. Different controls where the split is, chords in the right hand. That locks the tempo. I started learning piano when I was 7, and then I picked up keyboard when I was 25.
I think that's
I didn't take anyone.
And I thought,
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, have a good journey.
I got it. I wasn't able to. But you are aware of it.
Yeah.
See what you can do. Yeah.